The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Again, we want to officially welcome our podcasters, our YouTube audience, and our Facebook Live audience as well. Today, I'm excited to bring you a message on the coming arrival of the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Again, we're going to be dealing with a message that I'm excited about doing. Again, it's entitled The Coming Appearance of the Two Witnesses of the Book of Revelation. So that's what we're going to be dealing with. So, of course, we're going to be getting right into Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 is where we're going to go with this, and we're going to expound, break some stuff down, line on line, precept on precept. Here a little, there a little, so that we can break this down. I believe that you'll enjoy this message. So the first part of this is going to be dealing with, again, we're in Revelation 11. And I'm gonna read this passage of Scripture, but what you're seeing here on your screen here, what's about to come up, there's a little bit of a delay here on Facebook Live and on the video broadcast of this, that there is going to be a future temple built. So if you hear... Many times you hear prophetic teachers and those who teach on Bible prophecy, and you'll see articles and blogs and posts, and many of them are discussing a future, and you'll hear this a lot, a future third temple or a temple, another temple in Jerusalem. And they ask, where is the passages of that? One of the main scriptures of that is right here, found in Revelation 11, in the very opening passage of this chapter. And I want to read this, and again, this is going to come up on your screen here so you guys can follow along with me. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. This is Revelation 11, verses 1 through 3. This is John the Revelator speaking. And then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God." Somebody say the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. Now, I want to stop there and say that this is not a temple in heaven. I've heard people say, well, this is talking about a temple in heaven. No, it's not. Because the Gentiles cannot trample the city under their feet for 42 months if this was in heaven. So that destroys that whole interpretation or that theory. Again, one of the laws of interpretation of Scripture is you got to read the Scriptures before, in the middle, or during, and after, and you put it all together. You can't just cherry pick Scriptures out to make your own interpretation, to base this on your own theology. So I want to read this again. Then I was given this again, John the Revelator speaking. I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside of the temple." Now, where is this at? This is in Jerusalem. This will be in Israel, in Jerusalem in the future. "And do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city under their feet for 42 months. Or that's 3.5 years. When will that take place? That will take place, again, in the tribulation, when the Antichrist takes over the temple, sets his headquarters up in the temple, declares himself as God. That's when you're going to see the fulfillment of this. And verse 3, this is where we're going here, by the way, "And I will give power to my two witnesses." Somebody say two witnesses. Not three, not five, not seven. And I say that because when I did my research on this, and people sent me videos and they sent me blogs and they sent me YouTube videos, there is a lot of weird and strange teaching out there. One has a really good, I mean, as far as how it's put together and how it's produced is wonderful. But when you get all the way to the end of it, he goes on to say that the two witnesses are actually the whole body of Christ, which doesn't make any sense at all. And again, I want to say this again, because you'll hear me reiterate this a lot when we teach. When the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, one of the laws of interpreting scripture. If you, when you go to seminary school, or if you go to any kind of school of theology or whatever, when the plain sense of the scripture makes sense, one of the very laws of the of interpreting is do not seek any other interpretation. For example, if the Bible says there'll be two men, you know, if it says two men, that the plain sense of scripture interprets itself. You don't have to go and seek out further interpretation of that. I hope everybody understands that. So again, in this scripture, in Revelation 11, it says, I will give power to my two witnesses. These are two men, and we're going to elaborate more on this, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. All right. So we're going to pull up again, some more stuff here that I want you to see here. Some scripture that we're going to read, that we're going to get into. Again, this is Revelation 11, 4 through 7. John gives further elaboration on who these two witnesses are. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut up the heaven, or to shut heaven, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Verse 7 says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. Revelation 11, 4 and 7. Now, I want to pull out some stuff here real quick. It says here in the scripture that fire proceeds out of their mouth. This is not literal fire, guys. They're not going to open their mouth and literal fire comes out of their mouth. This is talking about the authority of the word of God. Jeremiah the prophet said his word was like a fire that was shut up in my bones. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost fell upon them in the upper room, it was like tongues of cloven fire that rested upon them. Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus came after John, he will baptize them in the Holy Ghost and fire. The word is illustrated, or it's alluded to, as a hammer that breaks. It talks about it's a two-edged sword. It's like a fire. So it's an illustration. In other words, they will have authoritative power that will be given to them to come out of their mouth, that they will have the power to loose and bind, and the power of life and death, begin to decree and open their mouths, and things will begin to happen supernaturally. All right. So let's take this a little bit further. Listen what it says about these two witnesses. It says that these men, whoever these two witnesses are, will have power to shut up the heaven so that no rain will fall in the days of their prophecy. So that's famine or drought. So these men will be able to cause it. They will be able to open their mouth and begin to prophesy to the heavens and shut up the heavens and cause a drought. Listen what it says. They have power over the waters to turn them into blood. Now we saw this in the book of, Exodus when Moses, through the hand of the Lord, turned the Nile into blood. All right, and then it says they'll be able to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. So I want to recap this real quick. You see here on the screen here, they will be able to, by opening their mouth, they will have authority by the Lord to be able to cause droughts, plagues, and waters to turn to blood. That's very interesting. And we'll elaborate a little bit more when we begin to peel back the layers of who these two men could actually be. But let me go on here. It says, when they finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. Somebody say the beast that comes from the bottomless pit. So if you don't mind, I know everybody wants to know more about the two witnesses, but we can't ignore this. We got to deal with this elephant in a room, and we got to talk about this beast and this bottomless pit because it comes up more than once here. So it says this beast, that there is a beast that arises out of a bottomless pit that makes war with them. All right. So when I begin to dig into this about this beast and this bottomless pit, not only is this mentioned in reference in Revelation chapter 11, but it's also mentioned in reference in Revelation 17, verse 8 that you see here in the screen. And I want to read this. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. So we know right off here from John's own testimony that this beast that he foretells that will one day come out of this bottomless pit is a beast that has been around. He said this beast that you saw was reference to the past. He's been around. He's existed. And he's not, meaning that he's not yet come. He's not made his presence known, but he will, future tense, arise, ascend, come out of this bottomless pit, and he will eventually, his destiny will be perdition, destruction. It will be the lake of fire, hell, eternal destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life. Who will marvel? Those not written in the book of life. Those who are not saved, they're not born again from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast, whoever this beast is, that was and is not and yet is. I believe with all my heart, when I've studied this, that this beast that appears to, that will make his future appearance, that's been here, this is not something that's going to, this is not a creature that's going to be created in the future. This is something that has always been here. I believe, in my opinion, that this beast is a demonic chief angel that has been here since the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and there was an archangel by the name of Lucifer that defied God, that rebelled against God, was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. And one of those chief prince angels, because there is ranks, the Bible talks about ranks of angels. There's seraphim, cherubim, there's archangels. And I don't have time to go into this, but there's other books outside of the Bible. For example, the book of 1st and 2nd Enoch, which I call Jewish history, that actually goes into great detail and actually gives names to some of these angels. And we know Michael the archangel is angels that are on the side of God. We know Gabriel is one of those angels. We know that Michael watches over Israel. He keeps Israel. We know Michael is the warring angel. Gabriel is the messenger angel. So these angels have ranks and they have names and they have a purpose, not only from God, but Lucifer, the archangel, the anointed cherub, the anointed cherub, Lucifer, had a purpose. You can go to the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel, and it talks about his place in heaven and how he was created with all these instruments that was created in him. He was the most beautiful of all creation of the angels. He became full of pride. And again, we could take a whole, maybe we'll do a whole study on Lucifer. I mean, we could do a whole hour study on Lucifer and break it down, and we could show you some really crazy stuff. But again, I believe that this beast is a demonic chief angel, and I believe he's named in the scriptures twice, and he's called Abaddon and Apollyon. And I believe this chief beast angel, this angel, will empower the Antichrist. He will actually empower the Antichrist when he comes to power. All right. So I know many of you guys want scripture on this, and that's what we're going to do. I want to show you another passage here real quick that we're going to pull up. Revelation 9, verses 1 through 11. This is probably going to be really small on your screen, so we'll home in on one particular passage here, but I do want to read this. Revelation 9, 1 through 11. Here we go. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given a key to the bottomless pit. So there's that bottomless pit mentioned again. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of this pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor of any green thing or of any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God written upon their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment these men on the earth for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like the lions, like teeth of lions. Guys, I personally, now I know other people have said that these will be literal locusts. I do not believe that. I don't believe these will be locusts that we know of, like the locusts that are that the Middle East is dealing with. I believe you got to understand, here's again, you got to remember John the Revelator. He is taking something. He is seeing something in his time and trying to take words to create terminology, and he's trying to pull from points of references in his time to use words that he had available at his reference of his time to describe something that he was seeing in the future. I want to say that one more time so you can understand this. John the Revelator was trying, I believe it was in 95 AD when the book of Revelation was written. So he was trying to describe something that he saw so far out in the future that here we are in 2020 and this has not yet happened. So can you imagine trying to describe something way out in the future using terminology and references and descriptions that you have in 95 AD? You only have what you've got to use. So he's trying to describe something that he's seeing. And he's saying, whatever these things look like locusts that are coming out of this pit. He said, their shape are like locusts. Notice he changes this. He didn't say they were locusts when you get to verse 7. He says the shape of these locusts, he said their shape was like horses prepared for battle. He said on their heads, they look like they were like crowns of gold, and their faces look like the face of men. Well, guys, listen, have you ever seen a locust with the face of a man? If you have, my goodness, do you live near Chernobyl or a nuclear power plant? Have you been eating some crazy food before bed, or what kind of drugs are you on? Because I've never yet seen a locust that had the face of a man. Listen, he said it had hair like a woman's hair. I've never seen a locust that had long flowing hair like a woman and teeth like a teeth of a lion. But if you describe a helicopter, you got, when it spins, it looks like hair spinning, armed to the gills with teeth. Have you seen some of the front of these Apache military helicopters? And the face is the face of a man because you have a clear cockpit with a man's face standing there. Again, this is John describing something that was not yet available there in reference to point to in 95 AD. So that's my opinion. All right. Again, and he said they had tails like scorpions, but their stings were in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And now here it is. This is where I wanted to home in on, because again, we could spend a lot of time on that, but that's not, we're talking about the two witnesses here. I haven't forgot about the two witnesses. We're going to get to it. Look at this, Revelation 9:11. This is interesting. Revelation 9:11. Very easy to remember this scripture. And they, these locusts, whatever these things are coming out of this pit, they had a king over them. And now he tells you who this king is. The angel of the bottomless pit. In case you didn't believe, Brother Ricky, that this was a chief angel coming out of this bottomless pit called the beast, this beast coming out. He tells you here, Revelation 9:11, this chief prince over them coming out of this bottomless pit. He says it's an angel. The angel, not an angel or another angel, the angel of the bottomless pit. And he tells you its name, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. So let's break this down. The term bottomless pit in Greek here is abustos, where we get depthless or bottomless. Abyss is deep. And it's actually the same connotation as when you go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning was the word of God. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. The word there is tahom, and it's deep. And many scholars believe that's where God created hell and the place that was created for Satan and his angels, and the angels that held not their first estate and rebelled against God. But again, it's abustos or abyss, or it's deep, bottomless pit. The secondary meaning is a prison. All right, now that's very interesting, because when you go over here to, let me pull up the scripture here, guys. When you go over here to 2 Peter 2:4, this gives more credence to the understanding of this bottomless, or this pit, this tahom, this abyssos, this deep. Listen to what it says here in 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down. Again, down to hell. Where is hell? It's down. It's in the center of the earth. It's in the core, the center. It's beyond the core, the mantle. It's in the center of the earth. God cast these angels down into hell. Hades, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So this is, again, this is very interesting. It's the same connotation here. All right. So now all this plays into this. This comes into play. Now let's go back up here. I know you guys are like, well, what has all this got to do with the two witnesses? I thought we were going to talk about two witnesses. Well, that's where we're going. All right. So now let's get up here. Revelation 11, verse 8. Revelation 11, verse 8. Let me pull the scripture up here for you. Give me just a second. I want to make sure you guys can follow along. We're going to pull this back up. So we did the first portion of Revelation 11. Now we're in Revelation 11, verses 8 through 10. And we're going to peel back this. It's just like an onion, guys. We're going to peel more layers on this onion to see who these two witnesses are. Revelation 11, verse 8 through 10. Listen to this. Now, remember, we told you up here in Revelation 11, it says the beast that will come out, that will ascend out of the bottomless pit, will make war against these two witnesses. He will overcome them and he will kill them. Remember, we told you that in the beginning of this. Now that leads us to where we are right here. All right. And listen to this. Now it says, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city. Now I want to stop here because I have to say this. Again, when the plain sense of the scripture makes sense, seek no other interpretation. I can prove to you right here that this unequivocally teaches you and tells you that these two witnesses are not the church. They are not a collective group of people. It single-handedly talks about their. Their, T-H-E-I-R, is in reference, again, when you go back to the full content of Scripture, it says two, T-W-O, these two witnesses, these two olive branches will be killed in the street. You cannot interpret this as a group of people. You're seeking your own interpretation. I had to say that because, again, there's teachings out there that are just crazy. And the two witnesses, their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. By the way, that is Israel. And that's Jerusalem, Israel. And it will be in the future called spiritually Sodom and Egypt. And by the way, Tel Aviv is one of the largest gay pride capitals of the world. Did you know that? And Jesus, John, by revelation of the Lord, called it the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, because the moral decay that will take place in Jerusalem. And because of the unbelief, Egypt was known for unbelief. It was filled with many gods. So again, Israel, the condition of Israel as a whole, when the Lord comes back, when we get to the tribulation, is going to be spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. And these two witnesses will be killed in Jerusalem, Israel, and they will lay in the streets. It even tells you where our Lord was crucified. Where was he crucified, guys? Again, then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. So their dead bodies, these two witnesses, will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And they will not allow to be, not allow their dead bodies to be put in the graves. Well, guys, I can prove to you the Jews will not kill these two witnesses, because Jews, when someone is killed in Israel or of the Jewish heritage, they immediately bury them. They don't wait. This is why when you saw Lazarus, remember when Lazarus died? And the Bible says that they laid him in the tomb. And the Jews believe, a lot of the traditional Jews believe that after 3 days, the spirit and the soul leaves the body. So this is why on the fourth day, they waited. Jesus waited to the fourth day to raise him from the dead. You know why he did that? Because he proved that he, come on somebody, was the life and the resurrection. I am the life and the resurrection. And he proved it because he went, he broke their tradition and he raised up Lazarus, who was dead, not 1 day, not 2 days, not 3 days, but 4 days. He was dead 4 days. How powerful is that? 4 days. So let me read the rest of this. So I believe personally that the religion of the Antichrist is going to be a religion that will celebrate the death of these two men. Why do I say that? Because let me pull the scripture back up. I got to show you this. This is very important for you guys to see this. Look at this. It says their bodies will lay in the streets for 3.5 days. And those who dwell on the earth, I know you ain't seeing this yet, but you're going to catch up. Here we go. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They will make merry and they will send gifts to one another because, listen to this, these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. So whoever the people group is that will be in Jerusalem and Israel during this time frame will, number one, they will oppose what these two witnesses have to say in their message, which we know, according to scripture, is directly from God because God has empowered them to preach the gospel and to give them the ability to perform signs, wonders, and miracles to do that. So whoever this people group is and the religion of this people group, and we know according to the scripture in Revelation 11, it says that this beast that arises out of this pit will empower the Antichrist who will kill these two witnesses. The Antichrist will be empowered by the beast and slay these two witnesses and kill them. And for 3.5 days, while their bodies lay in the street, look at this scripture right here. I'm going to highlight this because you got to see this. It won't let me. It's good. It's going to pull it accord. All right, see where it right here. See where my mouse is up here on the screen. Those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies. 3.5 days. Now, guys, I've said this before. This proves that this event could have never happened until way into the future when we had technology that would give them the capability of being able to, for the entire world, people, nation, and tongue to be able to look and see these two men lying in the streets dead. Think about it. In 95 AD, when John the Revelator wrote this, it was physically impossible for the entire world, the nations, the tribes, and every tongue to physically see these two men laying in the streets dead. But now we have the technology available through cameras, through satellites, through social media, and every other capability that we have that we can zoom in on, and the whole world in real time can look and see these two men be killed, be slain, and their bodies laying in the streets, and the whole world in jubilation because these two men have tormented the entire world with their message that's directly from God. Come on, somebody. Body, that's powerful. That is powerful right there. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper. Now we're going to get into what I know many of you guys wanted to get in here. Let's look at this. Now, Revelation 13, this should be Revelation 11. I put Revelation 13. Please ignore. You know what? Let me see if I can... It won't let me correct that, but that's a Revelation 11, not 13. So that's a typo on my end. That is Revelation 11, right here, 11:11. Now, after 3.5 days, so these men have been killed. Their bodies have been laying in the streets for 3.5 days. After 3.5 days, the breath of life from God will enter them. And they will stand upon their feet. Look at that. And great fear will fall upon those who saw them. So the whole world's going to see this. This event, listen, I know, oh, come on, somebody. I know the mainstream media likes to hide a lot of stuff they don't want you to see and want you to see only one side they want you to see. But come on, there's coming a time when these things are going to happen, and they may try to cover it up. They may try to hide it. They may try to edit it. They may try to snip it and splice it all they want. But every eye, come on, every eye is going to see this. Everybody's going to see. And it says, and great fear will fall upon those who see this event. The breath of God will enter them, and they will hear. They heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them. Now, there's speculation here. Some say that the only two that will hear this voice is the two witnesses, but others say that everyone will hear the voice from heaven. I don't really know. I think it would be awesome if the whole world looks and hears this voice from heaven say, come up hither. It's interesting that the term come up here, that's a King James, by the way, says come up hither. New King James says come up here. It's interesting that this is the same terms. These are the same three words that John heard in Revelation 4. He said, I heard a voice say, come up here. And immediately I was caught up, harpezoed in the spirit, and I stood before the throne room of God. Same three words right here. There's a voice from heaven that says, come up here. And listen, look what it says. I know all the rapture people that hate the word rapture. They hate the phrase caught up. They hate me even talking about an event where God can catch up saints, catch up people. But you can hide it, you can scrub it, you can do all you want. But right there in Revelation 11, verse 12, it says, they heard a voice from heaven say, come up here. Listen what it says. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw it happen. Oh, I love it. Listen, all you unbelievers that don't believe it's going to happen, guess what? You ain't going to see it happen the first time, but you may be sticking around whether you believe it or not. You may not believe in a catching away. You may be around and be stuck around to see the second time it happens, because you may hear come up here and you're going to see it happen too. Because listen, God has been in the business for a long time of catching and snatching people away. Enoch walked with God and was taken away. Elijah was taken away in a chariot of fire. You have two witnesses here that's going to hear come up here and be taken up. There's 144,000 that will be taken up. And I believe there's going to be a glorious, come on, blood-bought church of the living God that will one day hear the words come up here, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be transformed and changed. Come on, somebody. And this mortal shall put on immortality. We shall be caught up, harpezoed. But I got to read this. And in the same hour that event took place, a great earthquake and a tenth of the city fell. Oh, I could preach for 45 minutes on the catching away, or the power of that causing earthquakes. And I don't have time to get into that. So that's a whole other message. In fact, I think we have that on archive somewhere. There will be an earthquake in the same time frame that will be so powerful that a tenth of the city of Jerusalem will fall. 7,000 people will be killed, and the rest will be afraid and will give glory to the God of heaven. And it says the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Revelation 13, 1 through 14. Now, hold on for a second. Let me, Now I'm going to pull this away here. We're going to talk about this. Because I want to pull up another slide here. I had my slides mixed up here. All right. Here we go. Now let's pull this up. I want to show you something real quick here, guys, that I think you're going to enjoy. I want to show you 12 facts about the two witnesses. Here we go. I know this is a little deeper than you thought it was. You thought I was going to come on here and just say, here's the two witnesses. Here they are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hope you enjoyed it. But that's not how I roll. So we're going, I peel back layers and layers and layers. I know that's covered up there on your screen possibly, but it says 12 facts about the two witnesses. All right, let's go over this. Number one, the two witnesses will appear during the first half of the tribulation. Number two, the two witnesses are also known as the two olive trees and the two lampstands. Number three, the two witnesses have the ability to release, that's supposed to be fire, not sire. There's another typo. You guys will have to bear with me in my folly. The two witnesses have the ability to release fire from their mouths, which again is the word or the authority of the word of God. You guys pray for me. I need some, I definitely do some spell checks and proofreading before I get this up. Number four, the two witnesses can shut up the heavens and cause no rain upon the earth. Number five, the two witnesses will be prophets and they will prophesy in the earth. Number six, these two witnesses will be able to turn waters into blood. Number seven, the two witnesses will be able to strike the earth with plagues. Number eight, the two witnesses will be killed by the beast from the bottomless pit. Number nine, the two witnesses will lay dead in the streets of Jerusalem for 84 hours or 3.5 days. The two witnesses will be seen dead in the streets by the entire world. These are things we just talked about. Number 11, the two witnesses will be resurrected from the dead. They will be raptured, harpazo. Number 12, the two witnesses will be caught up, again, right there, raptured into heaven. Now, I want to show you this. One of the first mentions, if you go to Revelation 11, John said that these are my two, or the Lord speaks to John. He says, these are my two olive branches. That's what the Lord references these two witnesses to, the two olive branches. Well, where is there a point of reference to this? Because again, let me say this. One of the laws of interpreting scripture, especially when it comes to Bible prophecy, is always remember the law of first mention. For example, the Lamb of God. How do we know the Lamb of God is Jesus? Because where was the reference to the Lamb of God? Well, the Lamb of God is referenced all through the New Testament. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. There's references to all through the scriptures. We can go to the types and shadows in the book of Exodus as the Lamb without blemish was slain during the Passover. So we know that, again, this is the law of first mention. So we know that. So when we hear the term the two olive trees, we have to go back as far as we can go back and see if there's a reference. Well, we found it. Zechariah 4:9-14, the prophet Zechariah mentions these two witnesses. This is an Old Testament prophet, mentions these two witnesses. Listen to this. Not only does Zechariah mention the two witnesses, but he also saw the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian captivity. This is so powerful, guys. Listen to this. This is Zechariah 4:9-14, right there on your screen. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small beginnings? Or the day of small things, the New King James says. For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees? at the right hand of the lampstand and at its left. And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? And then he answered to me and says, verse 13. And then he answered to me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, listen to this. He tells you who they are, these two lampstands or these two olive trees. These, and I underlined it there for you, these are the two anointed ones. Now talk to me, somebody. How many? Two. Not a group. It's not the church. It's not a group of people. These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Whoa. Now, I believe it gives you a clue here of who these two men are. Because listen, guys, if Zechariah saw two men in heaven, not on earth, he saw two men standing before the Lord and said, these two are the two anointed ones. Why? Because they're being anointed for such a time as Revelation 11. They have been anointed to be appointed to be sent into the earth to perform what God has destined for them to do, which again has not yet happened, but is a future event. Now, watch this. I want to pull this up. Let me pull another passage of scripture here. All right, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. So who are these two prophets, these two witnesses? All right, most scholars. And now you've got Malachi 4, 5, and 6 up on the screen. I'm going to read that in just a second, but hear me out for a second. Most scholars agree that the two witnesses are likely either, listen to me, they are either Elijah the prophet Elijah the prophet and Enoch or Moses. So let's say that again. These two witnesses are either Elijah the prophet, and it's either Enoch or Moses. Now, why do we say Enoch or Moses? And that's what we're going to talk about. Elijah and Enoch were both Old Testament prophets. Let's say, for example, let's go with Elijah and Enoch and why many believe it's Elijah and Enoch. Number one, both were prophets. Number two, Elijah and Enoch. And this is the biggest one, guys. I got to be honest with you. Of the theory of Moses and Elijah and Elijah and Enoch, the probability of it being Elijah and Enoch, for most scholars, the reason why they believe it to be Elijah and Enoch is because they never saw physical death. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire. Remember, never saw physical death. Enoch never saw physical death. He walked with God and God took him. So again, they never saw physical death. Now, Elijah called fire down from heaven. Now remember, one of these prophets have the ability to call fire down from heaven. Remember that, Revelation 11? Elijah also prophesied a drought for 3.5 years during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. Remember, these prophets have the ability to shut up the heavens and cause drought. Enoch prophesied about the return of the Lord in the book of Jude. He said, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly. Remember that? Malachi, right here in Malachi 4, 5, and 6 that you see on your screen, here's what it says. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now I will say this. I have to say this real quick. I'm going to pull back to me real quick so you can see me as I'm talking here. Many references to the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Now, where do they get that? They get that out of, and I'm just going to read this. I hope I pulled this up. I may have not pulled this scripture. I know. Yes, here it is. This is Matthew 17, and I'm not going to pull. I got the scripture, but I'm just going to pull this. Just hear me out. Matthew 17, 1 through 13. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. And I'm going to give you the reason why some believe it's Moses and Elijah. So we know, I believe that we have definitively come to the agreement now, at least I am, that Elijah the prophet is one of the two witnesses. Now where it gets tricky is, who is this second witness? Is it Enoch? Because after all, he never saw physical death. And remember, Zechariah said, I saw these two anointed ones sit before the throne room of God. So they were already in heaven, and that would give credence to Elijah and Enoch. Y'all follow me? But let me show you why some people say, no, it's got to be Moses and Elijah. I'm just giving you this so we can show you why people believe that. All right? Matthew 17, 1 through 13. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led him up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, listen to this, Moses and Elijah appeared. Who appeared? Moses and Elijah. And they begin to have a discussion, and they talk with Jesus. Now, how about this for messing up your theology? Moses died. His body was buried and has never been found. He saw physical death, but yet he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah, and Moses is having a discussion along with Elijah to Jesus, and they're communicating back and forth. You just think about that for a second. And then Peter answered, said, Jesus, he says to Jesus, Lord, it's not good for us to be here. Or I'm sorry, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still, and by the way, I thought this was interesting. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And Jesus represents grace. So you have all three together there. All right, the law, the prophets, and the end of the law, which is grace. Jesus came to bring grace and salvation through the message of redemption, repentance through grace and through the message. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. But he goes on, he says here in verse 11, I'm going to skip down to verse 11. Jesus answered, said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first. Or actually, I got to back up because it won't even make sense. Let me go to verse 9. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell this vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples pulled him aside and saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Now, where do they get that? Malachi 4. I just read that to you. That's where they get that. Malachi 4. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So this is where they get this. But watch this, verse 11. And Jesus answered, said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. Now listen, here's where it gets tricky. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Now stop. Some people will say, oh, well, that means Elijah the prophet came during the time of Jesus, and they will say that Elijah was John the Baptist. Now let's read on. Likewise, the Son of Man, hold on, let me read this. But I say to you, Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. And then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. It didn't say that they understood that he was speaking about Elijah the prophet. They understood that what Jesus was saying, guys, was John came, watch this, in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Remember when Jesus said, who do you say? He was at Caesarea Philippi, and he says to his disciples, who do you say that I am? And they said, some say that you are Elijah. Some say you are John the Baptist. And he says, who do you say that I am? So again, he's not talking. So John the Baptist was not Elijah the prophet. Let me give you another proof to this, because people interpret that and say, well, there you go. John the Baptist was Elijah the prophet. No, because John never did any miracles. John didn't cast fire down from heaven. He didn't raise anybody from the dead. Come on, somebody. He didn't perform mighty miracles. Elijah, the prophet, did perform miracles. He did raise the dead. He did cast fire down from heaven. So again, John came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah to prepare the way of the Lord and to make his path straight and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and children of the father. So this is what we call a dual application of prophecy. Malachi 4 and 4 was in reference to a dual, again, it can be a dual interpretation, meaning that the spirit and the anointing of Elijah will come upon not only John the Baptist, but I believe there's a generation in the earth today that has the spirit and the anointing of Elijah resting upon us, who God has anointed us to prepare the way of the Lord and to make his path straight and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children of the father. It doesn't mean that we are Elijah the prophet. It means the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Just like there's a spirit of Antichrist that goes and prepares the way for the Antichrist. I hope that makes sense. I hope everybody understands that here. So again, I believe, again, this is why many people believe, I know this is a lot, guys, Elijah. We know that Elijah will be, I believe with all my heart, that he will be one of the two witnesses. But the reason why some believe that Moses could be a candidate, even though he physically saw death, was because he revealed himself on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus standing there. And here's another reason, is because in Revelation 11, it says that these men will be able to turn the waters into blood. Where in the Bible was a prophet or a man of God that was able to turn the waters into blood? You guessed it. It was Moses in the time of Exodus that the Lord used him to turn the waters into blood. So let me, again, that's why, let me recap this real quick. Moses turned the sea into blood by the hand of the Lord. And also, listen to this. Moses also, by the hand of the Lord, sent plagues into the earth. Remember that? And it says in Revelation 11, these men will be able to perform, they will be able to release plagues in the earth. Moses and Elijah again appeared together on the Mount of Transfiguration. So here's where I'm going to close, guys. I believe that the two witnesses of Revelation 11 is definitively Elijah the prophet. I don't question that at all. I believe it's Elijah the prophet. And could be, I'm not going to split hairs over it. Some people, I'm telling you, they get into these heated debates over this. And I'm going to be open-minded. I'm going to go with, it could be Enoch. Because after all, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And Elijah and Enoch never saw physical death. But you know what? It could be Moses. Because after all, Moses did appear on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he did have a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, James, and John was there and saw it happen. And Moses did turn the waters into blood, and Moses was able to release plagues upon the earth. So I'm not going to be, and I can't find anywhere in scripture where Enoch did that. Enoch did not, he was a prophet, but I can't find in scripture where he released famine, he released plagues, he turned the water into blood. So again, that's where I'm going to leave us with tonight. So I believe these two witnesses are Elijah and Enoch, or it's Moses. But I've got good news for you. And here it is. This is the exciting part. Let me close with this. This is the exciting part. Remember, when these two men come on the scene, they will be killed by the Antichrist, who will be empowered by this beast that will come out of the bottomless pit. And their bodies will be laying in the streets for 3.5 days, and the whole world will see it. So that tells me that the technology that it will take to be able to do that is already in place. So that tells me we're a step closer to this being fulfilled. Secondly, it says that the location and where in which it will take place is called spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Well, guess what? That is happening. The environment in which that has to happen is there. Do you know that a majority of the Jews there in Israel do not believe that Jesus is the Mashiach, the Messiah? They do not believe he's the son of David. That's why I told you that I believe that this Messiah that they're looking for that will appear in Jerusalem, and they're anticipating this third temple to be built for this Messiah. I believe this Messiah that they're anticipating, because they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and the scales in their eyes have not been lifted. I believe this Messiah that they're looking for is going to be the Antichrist of the Bible, because he comes first. The Antichrist comes first. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes out of heaven and destroys him with the brightness of his coming, 2 Thessalonians. So why am I excited about this? Because Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Now, here's where I'm going to make some folks mad. I have people, listen, when I talk about this, they unsubscribe from my channel. Everything we said, they don't care about any of it. Because when I say this, they get mad. And that is, listen, you may not believe in this, but I do. There's things you're going to believe that I don't. There's things that I believe that you don't. But can we put our differences aside and not split hairs over things and come into agreement as brothers and sisters that, number one, you have to be born again? Because if you're not, listen, if you're not born again and your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, it don't matter if there is or isn't a rapture. It don't matter if you're taken out on the first row out, or if you're left behind, or if you're going to go through the tribulation, it won't matter. Because if you can't, listen, if you can't survive the coronavirus, what makes you think you're going to survive the tribulation when heads are going to roll, the mark of the beast is going to be issued, the false prophet's going to show up, the Antichrist is going to show up, stars are falling from the heavens, 100-pound hailstones and all that, and you can't even survive the coronavirus, but yet you're going to say, well, I'm going to make it through the tribulation. Listen, all that ain't going to matter. I believe in a rapture. I believe in the catching away, the gathering together of the saints. And I believe that that before the Antichrist makes his appearance, we who are the restrainer will be taken out of the way that he may be revealed. You may not believe that with me, but that's okay. But can we come into agreement real quick before the end of this broadcast? Can we come to this? Can we lay all that aside and come to agreement with me? You may be born again, but there might be somebody watching this broadcast, watching by Facebook, watching by YouTube, listening by podcast, and they are not right with the Lord. If they were to die today, they would not make it into the kingdom. They may be here and they may go all the way into the tribulation. If they're not right with the Lord, then they won't make it. Listen, you may say, well, I don't believe in that rapture and I plan on making it through and I don't really want to serve the Lord right now. But friends, listen, if let's say I'm wrong and we enter into the tribulation. If you take that mark on your head or your hand, the Bible says you are damned to hell. You will not make it because you have pledged your allegiance to the beast and his system. So I implore you right now to make the best decision you could ever make in your life, and that is to repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you may be watching this and say, I'm not right with the Lord, I knew the Lord, I backslid, I've fallen away from God, listen, it's time to repent and get back in relationship with the Lord. He's there with his arms wide open. He's welcomed you. He's wooing you. He's drawing you by his Spirit. And if you'll repent right where you're at, repent of your sins, confess your sins, confess your trespasses, confess your iniquities before him. Ask Jesus to come in your heart through the Holy Spirit, wash you by his blood, save you and redeem you and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. My friend, you will be on the right side regardless of how this thing pans out. Theologically speaking, how it pans out won't matter because you will be prepared to meet him either here or there or in the air. Come on, in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? I'm going to pray for you real quick. Before we do that, guys, actually, let's go ahead and pray, and then I've got some announcements at the end of this thing. Father, I thank you for those that are watching this broadcast, listen to this broadcast by podcast, this broadcast or podcast, however they're receiving this information. I pray for them today. I ask that you would draw them by the Holy Spirit, God. If there's anybody that's not right with you, or they've never made their heart right with you, they've never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, or maybe they're backslid or they're away from you, I pray that you would move upon their lives right where they're at, right in their living room, right in their office, right in their vehicle, right in their home or wherever, however they're listening or watching this broadcast. I pray that you would draw them into your presence, God. And Lord, may their hearts be rested, assured with peace to surpass all understanding, knowing that they can lay their head on their pillow tonight and know that they have made their hearts right with you before it's too late. And Father, we thank you for that. And I pray that you bless them and keep them, and may your countenance shine upon them. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Guys, I got a few things I want to share with you real quick. Again, our main website. If this is your first time joining us by Facebook Live or by YouTube, or maybe you're listening by podcast, our main website is endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. We've got two ways you can go, .com or .org. You can go through the front door or the back door. Either way, you're going to get into our main website. Again, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. Please go subscribe to our website. You'll get a daily digest in your inbox, and you'll be able to keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as anytime we release a new podcast. Or when you see a podcast come through a notification, it's going to be on YouTube as well, because we upload it to YouTube and then we upload it to podcast. So if you're listening to this, if you want to know when new messages come out, go to our main website, subscribe to our digest. And when you and also, guys, you guys that haven't downloaded our app yet, get our app on Google Play and on the App Store. You can download that and it's free, and you sign up for push notifications. And every time we release a new message, you'll get the notification. Breaking news and headlines, you'll get the notification. You'll keep up with all of our ministry right there in the palm of your hand on your Android device or your Apple device. It's all there. You'll be able to keep up with our ministry. Again, it's free. All you got to do is just go to the Apple Store, type in End Time Headlines. If you're listening to my podcast, End Time Headlines. Type it in on the Google Play Store or on Apple, and you can get our free app there. Also, if you guys on YouTube and on Facebook Live, if you have not yet signed up for our free podcast, we want to encourage you to do that. We are on Spotify and we are on Apple as well. Again, these are also free. They're free podcasts. I say this because there's a lot of times, I know for me, a lot of times if I'm working out on the treadmill, if I'm going for a walk outside or going to the park or whatever the case may be, if I'm in my car driving, many times I'll pull up podcasts of other ministers or other ministries and I'll listen to them. Maybe I can't visually watch it, so I'll just pull up the podcast. So we want to encourage you to do that if you've not yet done that. And again, you guys on Facebook Live and on podcast, we do have a YouTube channel. You can see that coming up on your screen right there if you're watching this visually. That is our YouTube channel, End Time Headlines. You could type in, go to YouTube, type in End Time Headlines. You'll see our official banner there, our logo, our ETH logo. I want to encourage you to go and subscribe to our YouTube channel. All of our messages are archived there. You can go back. We've got hundreds, if not thousands, of messages there that will encourage you, they'll equip you, they'll edify you, they'll teach you. It's a whole archive of information there and revelation that we want to encourage you to go there and take a part of that. If you've not yet partnered with us, we want to give you the ability or the, not the ability, you have the ability. We want to give you the opportunity to partner with us. And you can do that by going to our main website, you guys on podcast, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to go. Click on the website. You're going to see places you can give electronically. You can see places you can give by check or money order. You guys watching this by Facebook Live and by YouTube, again, if you've not partnered with us, we want to give you that opportunity. You can become a monthly partner by sowing into our ministry, either, again, by check or money order at our physical mailing address, which is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131, or again by electronic giving. And the reason why we put that little image there with the app is because on your phone, you go to the bottom right, it's going to be a place there you can give. It's so easy. You just click on it. It's going to take you to a place you can give, and you can sow a one-time gift, or again, you can become a monthly partner to our ministry. Why would we want to do that? Again, if you support what we do, everything is free. Our messages are free. Teachings are free. Information's free. Our podcast's free. The app's free. Everything's free. We just ask that as we feed the fish, that's what the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, feed my sheep and fish. Jesus told Peter, I'll make you a fisher of men. And we're fishing. But guys, the bait costs money. So again, all we're asking is when you partner with us, you are putting seed into what we're doing. So all the people that we're reaching all around the world, you'll have a seed in that. You will have a partner with that. You will be partnered with that. You will be come hand in hand with that. So we love you guys. God bless you. Again, thank you for taking the time out and listening and being a part of these broadcasts. Today is Tuesday. We're going to sign off today. We will be back on here either on Thursday or Friday. We have family actually coming in tomorrow, so we won't be doing as many broadcasts this week, but we are going to come on either on Thursday or Friday, and we'll either do a viewpoint segment, which we'll go over the news and headlines, and we'll do a segment on that, or we'll do a teaching. So either way, we will see you guys again on Thursday or Friday. So God bless you. Again, thank you for coming on. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.